Rich Eisen.
He is one of the all-time
Rich Eisen
absolute friggin' greats.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't see no competition.
With guest host Ryan Leaf, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Hey, Rich, huge fan, love your show, listen to it every day.
Thanks, brother.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington. Coming up, NBA analyst Rick Bucher. Oregon State head coach Wayne Tinkle. Plus Colts owner Jim Irsay. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I am Ryan Leaf. I'm filling in for Rich today, alongside TJ Jefferson, who's been added to the mix since my last guest hosting gig.
I like how you come this way with it. Normally we go that way with it. But
it's like when I hit a home run. I go to first, I go to second, I go to third, and I come home.
I like your style.
Yeah. Our man on the ones and twos, Michael Del Tufo.
TJ.
And Chris Brock Shady Brockman.
Yo.
Father of Cage.
Yeah. Father of Cage.
Cage
follow
is
my,
dead.
Follow
That's
my
it.
Son on Instagram, at Cage Brockman.
Oh, yeah. Little Cage thrown out there. How's he doing, by the way?
My son is a monster. He's 1 year old. He is. He's wearing T24 or T2, it's called. He's a beast. He's ready to play tight end for the Patriots, like right now.
My goal is at 74 to hang at the Encore pool with Cage. When he's playing, like he's, how old would he be? Let's see.
I don't know, Mike. Be I don't fun. Know.
Hey, everybody who's on the phone, hang on. We're going to get to your calls here at the end of the hour. But first, we're gonna check in with our guy in the know in the NBA, Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Love the conversation about building our kids into stars that we can then just sit back and ride their.
That's the dream.
Hey,
Rick,
all right,
ride the flow. Yeah,
my son is going to be either 6'8" or 6'9". So I'm going to probably need some guidance from you on where I need to go in terms of coaching and especially where he needs to probably go to high school. That's probably a big one of these.
We'll take care of that. Although high school is very overhyped now, it's the AAU program that you go to is going to be the deciding factor. But certainly we can get into that. I'm here for you.
Well, heads up for the name MacGyver Leaf, 6'8", 235 pounds.
I don't know that really sticks in the memory. That just seems pretty ordinary. John Smith, Joe Jones, and MacGyver Leaf. Is not like the others.
Yeah, Mick G. Trade deadline coming up Thursday. Couple big names. You know, how interesting would it be if Lonzo Ball is again somewhere else? It just seems like he's been passed around. We heard Magic Johnson talk about him having one of the highest point guard IQs he can think of. What happens there?
So don't ask me to dive into Magic's comments about Lonzo Ball. That could hijack the show. I could spend a lot of time on that. But what I find interesting is there are a number of really quality point guards out there, Lonzo Ball being one, Kyle Lowry being another, supposedly Malcolm Brogdon with the Indiana Pacers. There are some game-changing point guards that are on the market, and there are a couple of teams, notably the Los Angeles Clippers, that could certainly use one. I would love to see Lonzo go back to L.A., go to the Clippers, see him paired up with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. From a defensive standpoint, that would just be a nightmare for opposing teams, and they could really use a pass-first point guard, and certainly Lonzo is that. He's also done a remarkable job of improving his three-point shooting, which is going to space the floor for times when you want to put the ball in Paul George or Kawhi Leonard's hands. So I would love to see him play on a meaningful team, because I think he just got unfairly hammered through no fault of his own because it didn't work out with the Lakers. He didn't proposed that he was one of the best point guards or was going to become a Lakers legend or any of that stuff. His dad did, and Magic did, and Magic appears to be continuing to just put the bar so high that people are going to look at Lonzo and suggest that he is underperforming. And I look, I I appreciate any guy who comes in the league. Brian, you know this, that you get to the pros, but now it's a matter of, it doesn't matter where you were drafted. You got to prove you can play.
Yep.
And it's not your fault where you get drafted. You know, somebody decided you were worth this. So it's on them as much as you to develop you to be that. And the Lakers pulled the ripcord on that. And Lonzo has gone about just making himself into the best player he can be. He has clearly made strides. He's clearly worked on his weaknesses. And so I, for the kid's sake, I would love to see him go someplace where he's meaningful. But, as far as guys who would change the dynamic, Kyle Lowry potentially going to the Miami Heat, and wherever Malcolm Brogdon would go, I'm really surprised by the Pacers wanting to move him, because for what the Pacers are, Malcolm Brogdon has been, in my mind, their MVP. I think he may not be worth the contract that he has, but if the Pacers move him, then that changes the dynamic of their team going forward in a big way. I think Malcolm is a very underrated point guard in this league, as much as Magic might suggest that Lonzo Ball is.
Rick Bucher joining us, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Lonzo is leading his best year in scoring, three-pointers, and field goal mm-hmm. percentage. So, I mean, he's gradually improving every time he steps up. For a guy that doesn't follow the NBA as closely as you do or the experts, we continue to see and hear about if LeBron and AD are healthy, the Lakers and the Nets are on a collision course. But with this injury to LeBron and the absence of AD – moving forward, are they, unless they add a piece where they can help them win, the Pelicans beat them last night, are we, what's the fight? Is as long as they get in as an 8 seed, that's all that matters? Are the Houston Rockets from the mid-90s, as long as they get in and they're going to win a championship, is that good? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, look, it's a fair question. I mean, first of all, we don't know what AD, where AD and LeBron are going to be when they get back. I've been underwhelmed by the impact of the players that the Lakers added last summer. Marcus Gasol was supposed to be a playmaking big that was going to outperform Dwight Howard. That has not happened. Wes Matthews was supposed to be an upgrade from Danny Green. That has not happened. Montrezl Harrell was supposed to be, that energizer off the bench that he was for the Clippers in the regular season last year. That has not happened. He hasn't played to the same level. Dennis Schroeder is really the only addition that has definitely been a plus. And so where they are cap-wise, what they have to trade, I can't see them adding a significant piece. And their best asset is the fact that they do have a core in Kuz and AD and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and LeBron, obviously, a crew that has Alex Caruso has won a championship, knows what it takes to win a championship, has the confidence that winning a championship breeds. And so to me, it's, don't maintain as much continuity as you can from last year. Hope you can be healthy at the right time. The scariest part is, I can see them sinking all the way down to the seventh, eighth, ninth spot. And if that's the case, then it's suddenly the NCAA tournament for them. It's one game. If they get to the eighth spot or the seventh spot when the playoffs start, okay, then there's not a real home court advantage without fans, and they've seen everything and done everything, so I think their chances are just as good, assuming they're healthy. But, how many upsets have we seen in the NCAA tournament?
Right.
On one given night, if you don't have it, you're suddenly out. And that's the prospect that the Lakers could suddenly face is, they face a hungry Dallas Mavericks team or Portland Trail Blazers or name Golden State Warriors. It gets into a game where it's possession by possession at the end, and one missed shot on their part and one made shot by the opposition, and suddenly they're not in the playoffs. That is the scariest part of where they are, is that I don't think they can hold a seed where they are guaranteed to be in the playoffs. They very well may be in a play-in game, and that's a one game, you know, decides it all, yep. And that would be a scary proposition.
Wow. That's Laker fans, you're out there. Kyle Kuzma is the hero you need, I guess, right now. What about let's talk a couple of other names before we get you out of here. We're speaking with Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Andre Drummond, the buyout market there, yep. and Aaron Gordon. You know, Aaron Gordon seems to be a guy that we always talk about as a great player, but seemingly kind of been in the background. So Andre Drummond and Aaron Gordon there.
Yeah, you know, the difficulty with those two guys is that they, for the most part, have been main cogs with their teams. And whoever they would go to, if they're going to go to a meaningful team, they're not going to be a main cog guy. They're going to be a guy who potentially comes off the bench and has to be a role player. And that is such a different role. It's one thing when you're the main player and you get all the touches, you get all the minutes, your efficiency, you don't have to worry. If you start out 1 for 5, 1 for 6, like, I'm going to play another 30 minutes. I'm going to get another 15 shots. I can find my way back into this game. For where they are now and the potential of who they would join, they're now coming in and they got to give you 4 explosive minutes and really have an impact on the game. Are they capable of doing that? Both not just physically, skill-wise, but mentally, are they willing to accept that? And I think it's why, like, Aaron Gordon has wanted out of Orlando since the end of last season, if not last summer. I was hearing that he was looking to go elsewhere, and yet the market, you know, isn't there because they have proved themselves to, at this point, to be really good players, to be quasi stars on mediocre teams. And the weight of that lands on, if this is my best player and we're only a mediocre team, then maybe he's a mediocre star. And the question is going to be, can they accept being a role player? Can they accept being a complementary player on a great team? And then can they accept it mentally? And then are they capable of pulling it off physically? And that's where they are. And that's why you haven't seen, I mean, Andre Drummond's been on the market since the beginning of the year. You know, nobody's jumping to get Andre Drummond because, you know, nobody's looking to rebuild around Drummond. They've seen teams that are built around him and, you know, they didn't get very far. So, and I just, on the buyout market, like, I think maybe Blake Griffin, if he's healthy, can do some things for the Brooklyn Nets, but LaMarcus Aldridge, Andre Drummond, Aaron Gordon, they're interesting names, but I don't really see them moving the needle. I would think that Alonzo Ball or a Kyle Lowry or a Malcolm Brogdon would have far more of an impact depending on where they go.
All right, we're talking to Rick Bucher. You can check him out on The Ball Podcast with Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Before I get you out of here, just quick answer to this. I don't need to...
As opposed to the long ones I gave you?
No, I love that. It's a simple question. Is the Golden State Warriors run over?
Yes.
There we go. I like it because that's what I told everybody the other day. I am not an NBA analyst or a expert, and I told everybody, guys, the window's closing. The window has closed.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
No. The window is closed.
Yep.
It's. I mean, you look at the age, you look at the tread on the tires, and you look at what made them special and unique, and none of those things are there.
Well, Rick, thank you for taking the time. Rick Bucher, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Check him out on The Ball Podcast with Rick Bucher. Thanks for taking some time today, Rick.
My pleasure.
Trade deadline here in a few days, guys. How about that? L.A. Ooh, L.A. fans out there, right? Trade deadline Thursday. L.A. Laker fans trying to get in maybe 8 seed. I don't know.
We were talking about that the other day. They're the 3 now. And, TJ, you said they're obviously going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard anyone say they might be in the play-in tournament.
I said that the other day, too.
Whew. Man, oh, man.
Maybe you heard it from me.
Maybe.
Maybe. You guys, this is going to be a great guest coming up here when we come back. We got head coach of the Oregon State Beavers. This story, I don't know if enough people are paying attention to this. Wayne Tinkle is going to join us. This is the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan, filling in with Rich, back with the Oregon State men's basketball coach, Wayne Tinkle.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. I am filling in for Rich. My name is Ryan Leaf. Been a long time since I've been in this chair. Cool guest we got right here. TJ to my right, Michael Del Tufo, Chris Brockman in their seats.
What's up, buddy?
All righty. So this story is, this is the Cinderella story, okay? A year that has been interrupted with so many different things. The Oregon State Beavers, who have never won a Pac-12 championship, who were picked to finish 12th in the Pac-12 this year by all the prognosticators, not only finished 5th in the league, but they went on to Las Vegas and won 4 games straight and won the Pac-12 championship. Got a 12 seed with the automatic bid, 12 seed for the Pac-12 champion, because of course everybody just assumes the Pac-12, like anything else, is a weak conference to begin with. They go on and beat Tennessee, a 5 seed. Just thumped them. There was never a moment, okay? And then do the same against Oklahoma State. Now, Oklahoma State made a couple runs, but they finished them by 10, and they head to the Sweet 16 to play somebody called the Syracuse Orange.
Let's go.
Ooh. We welcome now the head basketball coach of those Oregon State Beavers, fellow Montanan, Mr. Wayne Tinkle. Wayne, how are you doing, coach?
Oh, doing great. Really good to be with you. But, hey, we play Loyola Chicago in the Sweet 16. Dad, throw that in there.
Oh, gosh.
I like the way you think.
I thought, why did I think that?
We would play Syracuse in the Elite Eight.
Yes. Yes. No, this makes it a much more interesting conversation. Loyola Chicago, very underseeded, wouldn't you say, as an 8 seed, as were you guys. But I want to know a little bit more about this run, because I had you on my radio show earlier in the year, kind of after that beatdown you guys had in Oregon State, and how you had a come to kind of Jesus moment with your team, and the difference that that made for the rest of the season and what you guys ultimately became. Talk about that and what the season was like.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. Even earlier in the year, we lose to Portland at home in overtime. I think they only won maybe six or seven games. Was a tough loss. You know, we get into conference play right after Christmas. We have to have a pause for COVID. Couple guys test positive, and so we had an 8-day pause, and then we had two practices to prepare for Arizona. And we were their only game of the week because Oregon was in a pause. So we got both Arizona and Arizona State. We were their only game of the week. And they gave us a woodshed job. And we had a couple guys hurt in that game too. But we had a meeting the next day, the staff, 7 straight hours. We ordered in some lunch. And we just did a scrub of the whole deal. And we came up with this, that our guys were trying to win a national championship in December and January. And we were missing a lot of steps. So we said, let's just give them 3 things to focus on that we'll be able to judge from those whether it was a success or not. And it was executing our stuff, pretty generic, I know, playing harder than our opponent, and enjoying playing with each other. That was missing. You know, we got a lot of young guys. We've only got a couple of experienced guys. So we sold that to the team. So, guys, if you focus on just those things, it'll be a successful game if you achieve that. And then it'll lead to wins. We don't know when. We can't promise you. But they bought into it. We went on a 3-game win streak after that and got the momentum going. And then one other turning point, at Cal, our last road weekend of the regular season, we're, you know, big weekend playing Cal Stanford. We had some guys kind of roll their eyes when they were subbed out, roll their eyes when I got after them for taking crappy shots. And we lit them up. We lit them up in several timeouts. We lit them up at halftime. The paint was peeling in the locker room, and our guys responded. And we eked out a tough win there and then went to Stanford. And they were a little beat up with injuries, but a big win there. And that's when everything kind of fell into place. And the guys were like, okay, now we've had all this experience. We understand what it's all about. We got to play hard every day, play together, you know, and stay focused. And now we're in the Sweet 16, baby. So I couldn't be more proud of the group.
We're talking to head coach of the Oregon State University Beavers men's basketball coach, Wayne Tinkle. The loss to Oregon to finish the season heading into the tournament in Vegas, and then the lackluster mm-hmm. kind of first half. What flipped the switch there in Vegas that took you on this run that we're at right now?
You know, I think it was more of the same. We didn't follow the scouting report in the game at home against Oregon. We let them shoot lights out. They got it going on us. You know, they made 11 more threes than us. And what we told the guys, shoot, we should have lost by 25, but you guys did a few good things to, you know, keep it, you know, somewhat close. I think we lost by 11. And then we kind of carried that into the first game against UCLA. We just reverted back to individual play, not the same intensity on the defensive end. And in a timeout towards the end of the first half, we said, no. And didn't quite say it like that. But we're not going back to the past. All right, let's remember what has, you know, brought success and get back on page. And then at halftime, you know, some adjustments, and then the guys came out and totally turned that game around. I think we were down as much as 16, came back and won that one in overtime, and I thought that was kind of that final injection of enthusiasm and confidence that we needed, you know, to push forward. And, you know, we put it on Oregon pretty good in the semifinals, and then, you know, got up against Colorado. They made a late run, but we closed it out. And, you know, then our guys have really been dialed here. I mean, you said it. We handled Tennessee, and then got up. You know, after Oklahoma State got up 9-4, we jumped them and got a nice lead. And you know, they're athletic as all get out, and turned us over a bunch to get back in. But then we closed the door on them late too. So the guys are riding quite a wave.
Yeah, they are. It's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch the Pac-12 have success. And I want maybe you to comment a little bit about the undervalued Pac-12 conference, because guess what? 25% of the Sweet 16, everybody, 25% are Pac-12 teams. Oregon, Oregon State, USC, and UCLA. Unfortunately, Oregon and USC are going to be going up against each other to get into the Elite Eight. But just talk about the conference in general and how competitive it was this year, and the fact that you had to play mostly conference opponents in every conference this year. We really didn't probably know the real value of each and every conference.
No, for sure. Yeah, we didn't have those cross-conference preseason games. But, you know, I said, and people were kind of amazed at how we performed against, you know, Tennessee and Oklahoma State. But, you know, my comment was our conference prepared us for that. You know, when we got teams that can defend and can score, you know, I think it's like 7 out of the last 10 years we've had more players in the NBA draft than any other conference. You know, we've got some guys that can play. You know, there's great coaches in the league. You know, and it just, you look at some of the stats now, I think this is only the second time that a conference has had two teams that were double-digit seeds going into the NCAA tournament make the Sweet 16. And I think Auburn and Kentucky were the other, was the other time. And so, you know, UCLA and ourselves have done that. You look at, we're 9-1 to this point. You know, in the tournament, that's one of the top five best starts, you know, for teams that have at least five teams in the tournament. So we've got some guys that can play. There's great coaches. I just think, you know, that bias, most of the East Coast is asleep when we're playing our games, and it's unfortunate. But hopefully this will be a little bit of a wake-up call for the rest of the country.
All righty. I was going to – wait this to maybe at the end of it, but we're speaking with Wayne Tinkle, head basketball coach, men's basketball coach at Oregon State University. But the reason why I talked about Syracuse is because I already have you beating Loyola Chicago. I know you can't look that way, but I'm letting you know that's where
I like the way you think.
Yeah, I've been pumping. I said I want a all Pac-12 national championship. I want Oregon, UCLA, USC versus the Oregon State Beavers. I think that would be perfect, not only for me, but I especially think Bill Walton would ultimately retire and just go to heaven if that were to be the case.
So, I think you're right there. I think you're right.
Little known fact, right? Wayne Tinkle played at the University of Montana, coached at the University of Montana, and was around kind of at the end of my high school career, but mostly during my brother's. I asked him this question before, but and it's illuminating. What was the? Do you remember the scouting report on me coming out of high school as a basketball player?
Yes. Yep. Guy that was tough on the glass, had pretty good touch, could stretch it out a little bit, maybe not quite to the 3-point line, but very, very, very high skill set and competitive. I remember that.
Not great on defense, though. I think not great on defense, though. I think was probably the. The other one.
You notice I only mentioned the offense.
Yes,
side.
Yes. But the one that ended up making waves was my little brother. He would go on and go down and play for Coach Fisher at San Diego State, and he didn't end up playing his entire career there. But he ended up actually being the basketball player in the family, and that was the guy. That was the guy you remember telling me that maybe we didn't take a strong look at that younger Leaf kid.
Yeah, no, exactly, and I can't take the blame. I don't think, you know, I was the head coach at the time, and I'm trying to push the head coach to recruit him. I told you, I remember seeing him playing the 3-on-3 tournament up in Great Falls at the fairgrounds, and said, "Man, we got to get on this kid." But you like to see those stories of guys from, you know, states like Montana that, you know, maybe they don't get the recognition on the national scene recruiting wise, but then, you know, get out and go to another program outside of the state and have a great career. So that's good stuff.
Well, it's been a pleasure not only covering you this year, but seeing the success. Tell us a little bit about some of the players that a lot of people are getting a first look at. I hadn't heard too much about Silva and the way he's come around late in the year. Alatishe, I know you're hoping that he continues with his high quality of play, but you know, NBA scouts are going to start being like, boy, that the length on that guy, this is a team you could have back next year that could be pretty darn competitive.
We really feel good about the run we made, and hey, I'll go back to last year. We thought we were poised for the same kind of a run. You know, we had won some late league games. We won that tough game in the tournament against Utah with the buzzer beater. And then the thing was pulled from us. But, you know, we struggled early this year because of all of the new pieces. And now you just mentioned two huge parts now. Roman Silva, spotty playing time last year, early this year. He's gotten himself into much better shape and condition. You know, he battled through a COVID pause, and the work that Coach Rupp and the other coaches have done with him, we're starting to see the fruits of their labor. And, you know, Warriors, an incredible rebounder. He's so raw. He's only been playing for a handful of years. He needs some time. That's what we keep telling the scouts. Hey, don't go after him now. He needs a little more, I'll call it marinating. You look at those two guys coming back, some of those other younger guys, Gianni Hunt, Jared Lucas, Tariq Silver, who hadn't played much and actually tweaked his ankle last week. Two huge buckets for us in the second half against Oklahoma State because we were riddled in foul trouble. Ethan Thompson and Jared Lucas, Zach Reichel and Alatiche on the bench. So we thought the depth on this team would be our strength. We just needed for it to get to where they were confident and could start producing consistently, and we feel we're there. So in the recruits we've signed for next year, we're excited about what's going on, obviously, and we still want to make this continue this run, obviously this weekend, but the future looks bright for sure.
We're talking to head coach of the Oregon State men's basketball team, Wayne Tinkle, right now in the Sweet 16. We'll take on Loyola of Chicago, a bit of a tournament darling as well. We'll get you out of here on this. Unprecedented, unconventional year in a bubble in the Indianapolis area. Players not really being able to spend time with one another other than on the practice court. How are you keeping them loose? How is everybody staying motivated ready for the next matchup?
Yeah, that's a great question because that's the challenge. I mean, we're on day 16 on the road when we look at Vegas and here, both bubble situations. Really the only free time we have, there's like a double A or triple A baseball park across the street, and we get an hour a day to go walk around. They have some footballs out there. We put up some pretty cool videos, guys playing football, pickleball. And then boom, it's back to your room. So, we're staying in touch with them constantly, making sure they got everything they need. Nowadays, I mean, they've all got their iPads and they're jumping on Netflix and YouTube and all that, but we certainly have to stay focused to, their mental state because this is, like you said, it's unprecedented. And so we're constantly in communication. This afternoon, they get to sneak out to Topgolf. So we'll actually get out and away from the hotel, which will be nice for them. The coaching staff will be in the team room breaking down video, but that'll be nice for them. And so we're just, we're trying to keep them loose on the practice court, but yet keeping them focused and intense at the same time. Just telling them to enjoy the ride. Why change now? We're not going to do anything different. We said this going into the championship game in Vegas. Don't do anything different because this is, means we can go to the NCAA tournament. Just do what we do. Said the same thing after the Tennessee game. We'll say the same thing this weekend.
Well, I sure hope so. It's been a pleasure, like I said, covering you guys this year and watching it take place on the national stage. So keep at it. Best of luck against Loyola Chicago. I already know where that's going. Wish your boys the best of luck, and we'll hopefully maybe have you on the show next week.
Yeah, sounds good. I appreciate you reaching out. It's always good talking to you. Can't say enough how proud I am of our guys, man, for all they've been through and all their accomplishment. It's a pretty special group.
Thanks
a ton, and go Beavs.
Go Beavs. Head men's basketball coach, Wayne Tinkle.
That's awesome.
Well, of course. He's got, the Montana roots, boys. Come on.
That's right.
This is a special breed.
So listening to Coach's scouting report on a young Ryan Leaf, does that mean you're back in the mix and you're finally going to take my invitation to play on my – local LA here Rec Hoops League team once we're back in action after COVID
if I took literally one bursting action with this body it's over, okay? Like I took a real hard swing with my hybrid the other day and I think I ripped my groin, so It would not be good. I could.
What do you mean it wouldn't be good? See, before your big issue before when I asked you a couple years ago was that, well, I'm carrying too much weight. I don't know how many trips up and down the court I could get. Now you got this new, like, slim,
he's athletic, lean, mean body.
You got abs. I mean, I've seen your selfies. Ooh. You got abs. You know, you got some definition in his back and the upper body. So,
my Mercedes.
You know, I'm just saying, we need like a 6'8 guy inside to dominate these local LA hoops teams.
Well, I hear Brian Scabarini is available.
I don't know if I can afford Scally.
Well, yeah, I'm penniless, so you don't have to pay a thing for me. You know what? I might have to train towards it.
Okay. Just think about it. Just pick up a ball, maybe see what you got left in the tank.
No, if you just need me to be a spot up shooter or a guy to back somebody in, don't ask me to like transition and really play.
No, we just need you to rebound and block shots.
Okay, but I can hit buckets too.
Well, I mean, we got the buckets part kind of taken care of.
Coach Tinkle, that was a little BS-y. I was a 3-point juggernaut in high school. I could fill it up, man. I averaged like 20 some points a game.
See if I can find these.
I should have been, you know, I tried out for the men's basketball team at Washington State.
Yeah.
Yeah. And would have made it if my head football coach didn't say, hey.
He was like, playing. Nah.
Yeah, no, we're not going to do this.
He hit you with a Mutombo?
No.
He hit me with a Mutombo and he said, this is where we're going to go. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. Thank you for staying on the line. 844-204-RICH. We'll get back to the poll where we talk about the Breakfast Club and who would be yours. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show. I'm Ryan Lee, filling in for Rich. We'll be right back.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Rich Eisen Show. I am Ryan Leaf, filling in for Rich. It's been, I can't remember how long it's been since I've,
been
I was
while.
Telling Don that I've gotten so used to hearing somebody in my ear and continuing to talk, you know, and it's something you learn. I thought I would have easily forgot it in the last year, so I feel much more comfortable.
It's like riding a bike, man.
It is. It's kind of been like riding a bike. I think like the addition of TJ has been helpful emotionally.
I'm like a security blanket. Yes. Just make things feel safe.
I do. I feel surrounded now.
Well, yeah, before it was just a big void.
Well, there would be people lining up on the outside when they heard that Ryan Leaf was hosting, and there would be signs and be like, right. Why? And,
why? Yeah.
I mean, no, there were a few positives.
Go away, fatty. Hey, sometimes shame works in a positive direction. I'm just putting that out there, all right? Let's go to the phone calls, Chris Brockman.
Yeah,
I know we
yeah.
got a bunch of them, and yes, they want to know about the Breakfast Club.
Totally. We got some people holding on. So here's what we're doing today. In honor of the Breakfast Club anniversary, today's the date in the movie, March 24th, 1984, that the Breakfast Club takes place. So we threw out there, who's your Saturday detention group? It's you, and then pick one of each of the following. One actor, one athlete, one musician, and one sportscaster. Who are you spending the day with in detention? A lot of great responses on Twitter. Keep them coming. Also, give us a call, 844-204-RICH. So let's go to the phones. First in, first up, Art in Louisville, line one, Mike. What is your detention group, Art?
Oh, my goodness. I got a not so crazy one, but it's pretty good. I got, for the actor, I got Bert Kreischer.
Okay. Bert counts as an actor?
Yeah, he's on Hey, you're on TV. To me, you're an actor. So.
He is an actor.
Art's now into my detention group. That's great.
I got sportscaster, look, Dan Patrick. I just want to hang out with the crew. If it couldn't be you guys, because I'm sure everybody's picking you guys, it's definitely Dan Patrick. Jason Mraz is my musician.
Okay.
And then LT, man, LaDainian Tomlinson, San Diego born, San Diego raised. Speaking of which, went to USC. Thanks for your 51 yards of destiny there, Mr. Leaf.
Well, you know, I did what I had to.
Man, it was a great game, no matter what side you were on. But also, you know, my grandfather was the chief of police at the San Diego Harbor down there, and he had season tickets, so I got to see a lot of your games or escapades, as you want to call them. I wanted to get those out there, and man, you look better today than the day you got drafted. I'm not going to lie. You look fantastic, man. Congratulations on that. And I'm looking forward to the Jim Irsay conversation here shortly. Can't wait to see what he has to say. Brockman, one more poke at you. You had one kid during COVID.
Yep.
My wife and I had a 12-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 2-year-old. So we got you a little outnumbered. Jeez. There. So
it must have been rough on the wife.
God bless. Wow. God bless.
God bless.
Man.
No stretch marks or anything, man. But yeah, we fostered, and we just found out last week we're going to be able to adopt them, so we're pretty excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Congrats.
Right?
That's awesome.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And just one last question is on my way out. Ryan, could you compare the last two Pac-12 quarterbacks that the Chargers have that they've drafted, and I'll go ahead and get off the line and wait for your response. Hey, it was a pleasure, my friend. So glad you're doing well. Shout out to everybody out there, and man, I miss LA. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Be well, I appreciate the call, man.
Call back, bro.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville. That was great.
That was a great one.
That was great.
I appreciate that. That is meaningful. 44 years old, looking better than 21, huh? Mm-hmm.
I'd say what do you think?
I look like a kind of just baby face, right? Just mass to me. Like the shoulders are wide. I have the kind of the puffy cheeks, you know. I was as healthy as I was there, but I you're right. I was 241 pounds there, so 20 pounds lighter, I guess, right now.
Look at this picture. You're wearing a Charger pin on your lapel. Where'd that come from?
I had it in my pocket, and as soon as the Indianapolis Colts chose it, we knew what was happening. We knew what was happening.
Okay.
Right.
Told before ahead of time?
Well, we told them. We said, don't draft me. I'm not going to sign with you.
Okay.
So we made it pretty clear. John Elway'd it.
Yep.
Eli Manning it before Eli Manning. We'd made it pretty clear that I wanted to go to the beach.
Yep.
I had family on the West Coast. I played on the West Coast. I just, come on. Like the beach, the money, the babes, that was the mindset of the 21-year-old, right? That's all I was going for. So didn't think about, Marshall Faulk's in the backfield. Marvin Harrison's out on the perimeter.
Yep.
Let's go there.
Right.
You know, but you know what? I heard Jeff Graham was coming to town. Tony Martin was the wide receiver. Now, for whatever reason, the organization traded away Tony Martin before the season started. So Natron Means was coming back. We just picked up Aaron Taylor from the Packers and John Jackson from the Cincinnati Bengals. I was like, hey, we got a roster here. Roman Fortin as our offensive lineman. I was excited.
Is that out there that you kind of told the Colts, thanks, no thanks?
Well, yeah, and then there's a story that I didn't show up for the meeting with Jim Mora. I can't wait to talk to Mr. Irsay about that. Like, how was that interpreted? Did you hear that I blew you guys off?
Right.
Because I didn't. The Chicago Bears asked me to go get an MRI on my thumb because I had broken it in high school, and they wanted a X-ray or an MRI on my thumb.
From 5 years earlier?
I guess. I don't know. So anyway, I was at the hospital the whole night. When you're at the combine, you go through, it's a meat market. They just send you wherever. You do this, you do that. You're getting medical, things like that. And supposedly there was a meeting. Years later, I'm sitting in a prison cell, by the way, when my former agent, Lee Steinberg, decides to release a book about, you know, his life and everything. And one of the bigger things was the 1998 draft, and he had me as a client. And in his recollection, he informed me the night before the Jim Mora meeting, hey, Ryan, I'm not telling you to do this, But if you don't show up for that meeting, that could go a long way to you being a San Diego Charger.
Ah, interesting.
So he perpetrated that noise, which isn't true. It's not. That's not true. I had to go do an MRI. There is another one out there, and this is Bill Polian. And so you take Bill Polian for what he's worth. He also had a first-round draft grade on Tom Brady, by the way. So that's as far as we're going to...
I'm sure he did.
We're going to go there with that one. But he had a story that he told me when a mini camp was going to be, and my response to him was, oh, I can't make it, man. Me and my buddies are going to Vegas.
That's the story that kind of I've always heard, that you kind of was... You had this Vegas trip planned, and so you were going to blow off the Colts for that.
Yeah, hell no. I mean, I wanted everything about football. I mean, you tell me where to be, when to go. Let's live in the facility before that first year, you know?
Right.
Now, when I got drafted by the Chargers, Mr. Spanos, in his private plane, flew us, me and my father, to Las Vegas, where they had a home on Saturday night. And all my friends from Montana flew down, my uncles, all the men in my family, and we had a celebration together in Vegas that night. And then I got up first thing in the morning, and me and my dad flew over to San Diego for the press conference.
Yep.
Sunday morning. Didn't drink at all that night. You know, got to bed at a pretty reasonable hour, but I wanted to celebrate with my boys.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Understandable.
And there was nothing to do in San Diego that night. So there's a picture. Tommy Hilfiger fitted me for that suit.
Look at that thing.
Yeah, I liked it.
I mean, when the owner says, hey, I'll fly you in my plane and your family to Las Vegas, what are you going to say, no?
Right.
We may have asked if you could stop in Vegas. So, I mean, it was an interesting plane ride. Alex Spanos, the patriarch of the family,
yep,
and Dean. And we had to stop in North Carolina at Wake Forest to pick up their son, who is now, I think, the president of the Los Angeles Chargers. So we're all flying back. And I remember Lee Steinberg, my dad, and myself. And I'm looking at my dad during this flight. First time on a private plane ever. And I'm just kind of looking at him. And Alex Spanos is showing us old VHS tapes of him dancing, two-stepping with Bob Hope.
On the way.
Wow.
On the flight. And I look at my dad, and I'm like, where are we?
Yeah, what is going on?
What's going on?
My dad's from Fort Benton, Montana, which is the size of a peanut. And I'm from Great Falls, Montana. And I have now been the first Montanan ever drafted in the first round into the NFL. There's nobody else. Never has been or will be, I think. And there are more first-round draft picks in the Manning family than the whole state of Montana ever. So, I mean, this is altered reality that we're doing. So we land in Vegas. I give each one of my friends and cousins and my uncles $500. And I say, whoever has the most money at the end of the night wins the... And I said, if you blow it all, you blow it all. But let's see who can turn the most...
Right, sure. Right.
So my dad, being the most frugal person there is, just put the chip in his pants and didn't gamble all night. And then at the end of the night, guess what?
He won.
He won. He was the only one left with any money.
Smart man.
There's a reason why my dad is uber successful, right? And I think about it and what that looks like. You know, Jim Irsay is going to fill us in a little bit more the next hour when we talk about it.
That's amazing.
So Jim Irsay in a few minutes. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show on Westwood One Radio. We'll be right back.